today. It is Mother's Day. I'd like to say to all the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. I have two special women in my life, and my mother is visiting from Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm glad that she's here with us. She's doing a wonderful, wonderful job of taking the kids off our hands, and we appreciate that. I want to share something with you real quick. A lot of people say when they see my mom, while I can't believe that Chris is your son, and I guess that means I look old and she looks young. But when we used to go to, you know, the grocery store, and right around that age of 16, 17, when, you know, you start liking girls, and we would go through the checkout lines and there'd be a cute girl in the line. And I would say, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, my name's Chris, and I'd like to get your number. And they say, how dare you try to talk to me with your girlfriend standing beside you? Like, this is my mom. It's not my girlfriend. And sometimes my mom, I'd be like, mom, help me out. She just look and smile. Oh, those were good times. Good times. Again, to all the mothers here, happy Mother's Day to you all. But today is not only special because it's Mother's Day, it's the Lord's Day. And this is the day that he's made for us to rejoice and be glad in it, and we should absolutely do so. I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to do a different lesson, and something that I normally don't do. So I'm going to try this out. But before, I want to tell you all, you're doing a wonderful job with the singing, and let's continue to lift our voices. It reminds me of a choir director who became peeved when a buzzing insect was distracting the singers during their practice. And when the bug landed, he promptly squashed it. And then the singers asked, what is that? And the director grinned and said, it's a B flat. Told you. Yeah, I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll. A policeman pulls over a car full of elderly women. And he says, ma'am, this is a 55 mile per hour highway, he says. Why are you going so slow? The woman replies, sir, I saw a lot of signs that said 40 and not 55. And the officer grinned and said, oh, that's not the speed limit, that is the highway that you're on. And then the woman says, oh, silly me, thanks for letting me know. I'll be more careful. And at this point, the officer sees some women in the back seat that they were shaking and trembling, holding their Bibles. He says, excuse me, ma'am, what's wrong with your friends in the back there? The woman answers, oh, we just got off of Highway 101. I'm getting better and better, D. I'm getting better and better. This morning, I want to talk about angels. I want to take you on a brief biblical journey on angels. And this morning, for a little while, I want to talk about the subject of angels, because angels are really fascinating. Angels are brilliant creatures as they are described in the Bible. And I had no idea when preparing this lesson for this morning. They are very popular, particularly here in America. They have been the feature in national news magazines. They've been on the Newsweek. They've been on Time. Countless books have been written about angels, and movies and television shows have also been devoted to them. Many of us probably remember the TV show Touched by an Angel, or Highway to Heaven with Michael Landon. You can find angels just about anywhere. You know, t-shirts, people's yards, on people's chains, they're everywhere. And a few years back, Time magazine conducted a poll among American adults on the subject of angels, and they found some interesting results. 69% confirmed that their belief in the existence of angels. 46% acknowledged their belief in a personal guardian angel. And 32% claimed to have felt an angelic presence at some time in their lives. Now, nothing particularly strange about this until you begin to see the unhealthy obsession with angels. In both secular and religious realms, they're being elevated out of biblical proportion. And while angels are one of God's most amazing creations, they are fascinating. We must be careful not to worship or elevate them above God. They can never compare to his majesty, his glory, or his power. Now, over in Colossians chapter 2, looking at verse 18, the infallible word of God says, "Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worshiping of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind." Now, while we don't know every single thing there is to know about angels, the Bible does give us a great deal of information concerning angels. And there are hundreds of passages in the Old and in the New Testament. The King James Version of Psalms chapter 104, verse 4 describes angels as ministers of fire. It says, "Who makes his angel spirits, his ministers a flame of fire?" Now, remember when David sinned in numbering Israel, an angel went through the land as the plague killed 70,000 men. The Bible explains this. It says, "And David lifted his eyes, saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth, and in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces." This is in 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 16. Now, this was the work of just one angel. Fascinating. Now, there are different types of angels that are not all alike, okay? And one class of angels is called a cherub, such as those who guarded the gates of Eden after Adam and Eve were expelled. And these winged angels are also called watchers. Another class is called seraphim, which means burning ones. The celestial beings are often seen before God's throne or by prophets while in vision. Now, as I studied this subject, I found that there are hundreds of scriptures on angels. So it's important for us first to define what we mean when we talk about angels. Now, both in the Hebrew and the Greek, from which we get the word angel, it just simply means messenger. It means messenger. And the word is also sometimes used to describe what we call a human who is dispatched. Now, angels are spiritual beings created by God before he created the physical universe. All right. And these beings were created to worship God and serve his purpose. And again, I want to remind you that angels are spiritual beings created by God for his purpose, created before he created the physical universe, all right? And angels are the unseen attendants of the children of God and loyalty to God, and leads them to take deep interest in the children of his love. Now, remember that statement, God leads them to take a deep interest in the children of his love. Now, over in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" We see that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. Now, I'm saying that because there was a movie, I think with Nicolas Cage, called City of Angels, where he was able to say to himself, "I no longer want to be an angel. I want to be a human because I fell in love with a human." Now, I want you to know now, ladies, that that's looking for a man and single, that there are no angels available. I'm just letting you know. That's the farce that which they try to sell us and all these different ideas about angels. Listen, the term translated ministering refers to the ceremonial activities of priests and the role of ritual service. So we can then translate this as a worshiping spirit sent forth to serve. And now this is appropriate as the Bible depicts angels as beings who worship spontaneously because they are filled with awe. They're filled with love and reverence as they observe God's glory, his love, and his power. So first, let's look at the angel and the nature of angels, all right? So over in Nehemiah chapter 9, looking at verse 6, it says, "You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you." God created everything, and we understand that everything means everything. The fact of creation is brought out in Psalms 148. Now, a lot of these things, are these scriptures I almost say in passing, so if you want to write them down, please feel free to do so. So in fact, the creation is brought out in Psalms 148. The psalmist calls upon all in the celestial heavens, including the angels, to praise God. Not angels praise angels. So in Psalms 148, it reads, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away." So why are they to praise God? According to verse 5 in Psalms 148. "Because for he commanded and they were created." See, the time of creation is never stated in the Bible, but however, we know that they were created before the creation of the world, right? From the book of Job, we were told that they were present when the earth was created. So the creation was prior to the creation of the earth as described in Genesis chapter 1. So you remember in Job chapter 38, beginning with verse 4 through 7, the Bible says, "Where were you when I laid earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand who marked off its dimensions. Surely you know who stretched a measuring line across it, on what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone, while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy." So the angels are spirited creatures. Angels are spiritual beings. They are at times have been given the ability, though, to reveal themselves in the form of human bodies. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 3, and they're also described as spirits in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. So this suggests that they do not have material bodies as we do. So again, one won't come down when you get an opportunity to date an angel. And I do declare that my wife is an angel, but she's just not one from above with wings. Yes, you are. For this reason, though, they don't function, saints, as human beings in terms of marriage and procreation, all right? According to Mark chapter 12 and verse 25. Nor are they subject to death, according to Luke chapter 20 and verse 36. So as created spiritual beings, angels are mere creatures, but they are not divine and they're not to be worshiped, as we find a lot of people do. You remember when John fell to the feet of the angel to worship him in Revelation 22 and verses 8 and 9? You remember what the Bible said? Well, let's take a look. In the King James Version, and I like this version, "John saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which shewed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren of prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. He simply tell them, don't worship me, you worship God. He says, see thou, do it not. And yet there are people who worship angels. There you have people who put angels above God. There are people who pray to angels. There are people who have shrines and idols of angels. But he said to him, see thou do it not. As a separate order of creatures, they are both distinct from human beings, but they are higher than humans with powers far beyond our abilities in this present age. But as creatures, they are limited in their power, in their knowledge, and in their activity, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And like all of creation, angels are under the authority of God. And they're also subject to his judgment. So we're not to put them higher and above God Almighty. Now, second, there are two categories of angels. We have good and we have evil. And while all the angels were originally created holy, and they were created without sin, there was a rebellion by Satan. And these are called fallen angels, right? Who being lifted up by his own beauty, Satan, that's who we're talking about, one of the most beautiful angels created, he sought to exalt himself above God and he rebelled. And in his rebellion, he took with him one third of the angels, according to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 4. This is what it says. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. As it is clear from Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, and many other passages, the leader of the falling angels, or demons as they are also called, is Satan's. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 through 27, Satan, the leader of the unholy angels, is a liar, he's a murderer, and a thief, according to John chapter 10 and verse 10. And as God's great adversary, he hates God and God's people. And scripture teaches us that he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking those that he can destroy and he may devour. So as angelic beings, again, Satan, along with his demon-like angels who operate under his authority, is supernaturally powerful, and he uses all his power against humanity. You remember in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 that explains to us the very thing that I'm talking about. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So we need to realize that there are good angels and there are bad angels. But ones that are ministering spirits that are on the Satan side are those who are against humanity. So we need to understand that we have good angels and bad angels. And there are certain people who might not even know that the very ones that they're putting above God, they may be worshiping a demon, a bad angel. So we have to be very careful about putting angels above God. Third, let's look at the ministry of the good angels, though. The book of Hebrews calls angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who would inherit salvation. And this is according to Hebrews chapter 1, again in verse 14. Angels ministering unto us in many ways. So I'd like for us to look at some of their ministering ways. Let's look at their ministries. So the first thing that we do know about angels protect. They protect. Perhaps no aspect of their ministry to man is more talked about than the idea of what we have heard, the guardian angel. Now, while no passage specifically states that every person has a guardian angel, the Bible does teach that angels do guard and they do protect us. Over in Psalms 91 in verse 11, The Bible says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." And in addition to that, over in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, we may suggest a guardian angel because of the statement Christ made regarding the little children, right? When he said, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven, these their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Now, angels care for us and protect believers from physical harm and give believers strength to overcome difficulties. And that's a fact. You remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den? In chapter 6, the Bible records the story of how the angel shut the mouth of the lions when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. And although we do not always see angels protect us, the Bible says that they do. So I don't want to discredit what the angels were created for and what they do for us, but I don't want us to get in the secular mindset and start worshiping and putting angels above God. The second thing that angels do, they not only protect us, but they also encourage us, right? Angels strengthen Jesus after his temptation in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So they encourage us. They encourage the apostles to keep preaching after being in prison in Acts chapter 5 in verses 19 and 20. And they told Paul that everyone on the ship would survive the impending shipwreck. Remember over in Acts chapter 27, verses 23 through 25? The Bible says, "For this very night they stood before me, there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told.'" So not only can God send us brothers and sisters in Christ as we have to encourage us, which is such a blessing, he can also send his messengers. The other thing that angels do is they provide guidance for us. Sometimes angels give us guidance so God's people will know what he wants us to do, right? And an angel appeared to whom? Joseph, in a dream, and he gave him instructions to take Mary as his wife, right? And to name her baby Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And as it was, an angel told Philip where to go in his travels so that he could meet the Ethiopian eunuch and lead him to Christ, Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. So they are there to help guide us. We see the examples in the Bible. And lastly, here are some final thoughts to ponder about angels. Because what I really want you to take away from this is that they do not trump God's power. We should not worship them. We should not put them above God, but they do exist. They are real, and they provide some things for us. So what I'm simply saying is that we need to be extremely careful not to buy into the world's perspective of angels. You know, our secular society presents them in a false way with false ideas about God's messengers. I think there was a movie that came out a while back, and it was called Legion. You know, angels got tattoos and they carry guns, and you know, but that's how people depict them. And you'd be surprised that certain people have all these different images of angels and how they behave and how they act. They're not like us. They're not like us. So we have to be very careful. There are now books available in bookstores with titles like Ask Your Angels or 100 Ways to Attract an Angel. You know, like going outside and you know, putting on a special kind of fragrance and an angel will fly down and come down and speak with you. But that sounds crazy, but you'd be amazed that there are people who will try these very things. You know, have angels around their houses, and they believe that because they have an angel outside of the house, that it will protect them from termites coming in and eating up the house. I mean, it's just some crazy things that people put in their minds. But the Bible gives us neither permission nor proceeding for us to directly contact angels in the first place. You ever thought about that? It doesn't. And if we need help, if you truly need assistance, right, you should pray to God. You should get on your knees and pray to God, not an angel. You should be asking God for help and guidance. He is the one that you should talk to, not angels. And some people believe that they receive special knowledge and teachings from angels when we have the infallible word of God. He has given us the biblical instructions that we need. And saints, we need to remember that God's angels also are not teachers. God's word says that they are messengers. That's what angel means. They minister to us. And God has revealed to us everything we need to know in this life about righteousness and godliness. And that's what we need to put our stock in. And 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. It said nothing about angels. Some people believe that when they die, they come back as angels who come back to earth to minister to their families and to save them. However, we do not become angels after we die. Angels are not glorified human beings, according to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30, which explains that angels do not marry and they do not reproduce like humans. Also, angels are a company or an association, according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. Not a race descended from human ancestry, according to Luke chapter 20, verses 34 and 36. So what our culture needs in response to the angel craze is a strong discernment, not built on man's word or man's creed, but built on the foundation of God's word. And we need to remember and share with others these truths about angels. It's so important. So the ministry of holy angels, let me tell you something, will never contradict the Bible. No matter what people come up with, no matter what doctor or this PhD who does study of angels, it will never contradict the Bible. The actions of holy angels will always be consistent too with the characteristics of Christ. So if you see an angel with some tattoos, you see some angels using some foul language or acting like the average man or woman on this time side of life, remember that their character will represent that of Christ. And a genuine encounter with a holy angel will glorify God and not the angel. It won't be about the angel. It'll be about God. Now, I made sure that I'm going to wrap this up because I know that it's Mother's Day and I didn't want to take long. I had a few men tell me that they have already made reservations for the wives at the Arby's and McDonald's and at White Castle. So I just want to wrap this up. But in conclusion, as we talk about these things, about angels this morning, about the ministry, right, and about the functionality of angels, we learn that we are not alone in the battle against the evil. So I don't want you to take away from this that angels, you know, can't help you. They are in it with us to battle against the evil one. For we are opposed by invisible evil forces led by Satan. And I believe everything about what God says. And I thank God for the angelical host, right, that love God and the wonderful role that they play in His eternal plan and His purpose. But we can never forget that God alone is worthy to be praised, not angels. In Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 to 11, it pictures angels around God's throne, right? Who do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Isn't that what we want? We should be wanting God with the return of Christ, right? He loved us, right? He loved us so much that He was willing to go to Calvary to prove it. Also, He made us in His image. Angels aren't made in His image, but we are. That's how much he loved us. And that's why we should never put angels above our Heavenly Father, who loved us so much that he was willing to die for us so that we can get to heaven. God loves all his creations and has a mighty, unmatched love for his children. So the question that I have for you this morning, knowing that he has that unmatched love, knowing that we should put nothing else, no other being, no other created thing above God, the question is, will you come to him today? Do you know how important you are to Jesus? If you don't know, he gave his life. He gave his life so that you could live for him, giving us an opportunity to love and do the things that he desires for us to do. And that's to be in heaven. One of the things that I saw that it says that they do not rest day or night saying, holy, holy. Now, if we were back in the first century, some of y'all wouldn't make it. They was preaching all night, all day. One of the things I try to get people to understand is when you have a hard time coming to church, keeping your eyes open, staying focused, I'm trying to figure out what practice you're getting in, because what you think we're going to be doing in heaven? We ain't gonna pray for a little bit and sing a few songs. When we are now, you can go watch football. That's not what's going to be going on in heaven. And we need to get in our minds that this is a wonderful thing. This is a wonderful opportunity that he has given us, a blessing that we can read, we can sing praises, that we can honor him. And we have the opportunity to change the course of our eternal destination if we have not accepted Christ in our lives and if we have not changed our thought process to live for him, to die our old selves and be a new creation. So I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning, and you have a desire to put Christ on in baptism, to be in Christ, to be called children, sons and daughters of God, you can do that this morning. And if you've been struggling with some things, you become wayward, you want to rededicate your life, you want to say that from this point on, I want to be focused on God and the things of God, you can do so this morning as together we stand and we sing.